Subterra Episode 2. Ace was running for his life. That damn Mass 7 had active infrared and was still after him. The sentries had given up a while back. It was just too dark in the service corridor. But that Mass 7, it saw him just fine and it would keep chasing him. It wouldn't get tired, and it would catch him. Stealing the power pack had been easy. The merchant was busy dealing with another customer, and Ace slipped it into his pack. Nobody had seen him. But he hadn't planned on the bot being outfitted with amplified sensors. It must have scanned him and saw that he wasn't chipped. Normal range was 10 meters or so, and Ace would have been fine, but the amplifier modification gave the Mass 7 more like a 30-meter range. When he heard the Mass 7's alarm go off, he bolted. Now he was back in familiar territory, in the dank corridor leading to level 7. But he was getting tired. He had been running flat out for over 10 minutes, and his breathing was labored. He could feel his muscles straining, rebelling, screaming at him to slow down. But he couldn't. That bot would close on him and corner him and clamp down on any available body part and shut down. He would be caught in a snare, and the sentries would track him down eventually. There would be no trial, no prison for him. Not for the unchipped, not for the bunker orphans. He would be taken to Hell's Gate, and they would incinerate him. So he kept running. His optics goggles were warm on his forehead. They were working at full capacity to image the corridor that was now completely dark. There was no light at all. Ace could hear the plastine pads thumping on the ground behind him. The Mass 7 was closing. Ace chanced a quick look behind him and saw the pulsing orange glow of the bot's eyes. It was very close now. It would overtake him in a few more meters. Ace reached into his pack and pulled out a small device that fit easily in the palm of his hand. He gripped it tightly. He had to be in complete darkness. Finally, his optics chimed a single warning tone and shut down. He was completely blind now. He was running on feel alone. His familiarity with this stretch of corridor, the only thing keeping him from running into a support beam or hatch strut. The bot was right behind him now. Any second now, it would power up the hind servos, leap into the air, and take him down from behind. Ace tried to breathe evenly and focus his mind. He only had one shot at this, all or nothing. He heard the tiny hiss as the servos locked, and then a sharp sound, like the uncoiling of a spring under massive tension. It was in the air. He knew from that sound. It had launched itself at him. In one fluid motion, Ace turned and dove backwards. He hit the deck and raised up the palm-sized device, squeezing the activator button as the bot bore down on him. Ace closed his eyes tightly, and the tunnel exploded with light. It was a sustained pulse of xenon gas that flared at over 90,000 lux for a full second. With the infrared irises of the Mass 7 open to compensate for the darkness, the light fried the internal circuits, effectively blinding the bot. It sailed over Ace, mere inches above him. In that one second of light, he saw the open maw and the filed titanium teeth that the bot designers had insisted on adding, even creating a set of canine incisors that were nearly 3 inches long. If it had bitten him and clamped down, it would have ripped off a limb, or at the very least, torn open an artery that would have seen him bleed out. But the dog was over him and flying past. Now the tail was just whizzing by, and he thought for one brief moment that he had actually pulled it off. But the rear pads of the bot landed on his left hand, and a wave of pain shot up his arm. He could hear the bot righting itself as he took a silent step backwards. It was Deke who had taught him about the trick with the amp light. Deke used to work in engineering, and he had repaired bots all the way up through the Mass 6 hybrid before the nerves in his hand stopped working. He was no longer able to do the intricate work on bot microplates, so they sent him to the mines to dig up iron ore and calcite. And that's where Ace met Deke. And Deke taught him a few tricks about how to avoid getting killed by a mechanical sentry bot. Ace only hoped the trick worked, or he'd be dead. Ace poured the contents of the pouch out into his hand. There were hundreds of tiny cadmium ball bearings. He heard the bot take a step towards him, and he tossed the ball bearings on the ground in front of him. He heard them scatter and cascade across the uneven floor. The bot heard them too, and took a charging step forward. Ace could hear it scurry toward him, but then he heard a metal-on-metal scrape as the bot's pads hit the ball bearings. It skidded a few inches, then stopped. The bot reached out tentatively with one leg, lightly testing the floor. It tried to move again, and the leg slipped backwards on the ball bearings. The bot wouldn't fall over, of course. It had three independent gyros that would keep it upright. Instead, the bot simply stopped and sat on its hindquarters, much like a pet would sit for a treat. It was still for a moment. Then Ace could hear the servos powering down. Deke's trick had worked, just like he said it would. If bots were deprived of their sight and found themselves on bad terrain where footing is an issue, they simply shut down and waited for a human sentry to find them. A red light began to flicker on the bot's spine. Ace thought about taking it apart, maybe steal a couple parts for his trouble. But Deke had told him that the bot would set its battery relays to full charge and electrocute anybody that touched it before its master could verbally input the disarm codes. Ace took a second to look at it more closely. The thing was huge. Even sitting, the head was almost as tall as Ace. A mechanical monster. Once he was back and sure he wasn't going to be tracked, he would make sure to visit Deke. The only other item he had stolen from the market was a packet of dehydrated goat cheese. Ace hated it, but for Deke, it was a delicacy. It wouldn't be enough to properly thank him for his help, but it would be a start.
Subterra was created by Warren Davis and Steve Kruger. Performed by Marty Yu.